This episode is brought to you by McAfee.
Finish your fantasy lineup?
No, but I'm joining this paid group chat with insider info.
Dude, seriously? Forward it to me? Oh, security alert from McAfee. That group's as legit as that knockoff jersey you're wearing.
McAfee's scam detector is available in all McAfee plans for as little as $39.99 for your first year. Learn more at McAfee.com/online protection.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The quarterback threw a backward pass, which was recovered in the end zone.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've never quite seen anything like what happened on the two-point conversion.
The refs are the worst.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans. Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald. And now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Two more hours to go here on the show. Just one more here on ESPN2. Two National Football League head coaches is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes time. DeMeco Ryans of the red hot Houston Texans. Once upon a time, 0-3, now 9-5. 9-5. And the proverbial team that you may not want to face. Boy, there's a lot of folks in the AFC thinking we need to keep them out. And the Vegas Raiders are the ones trying to beat them this weekend. And then the Texans after that have the Chargers on NFL Network on the week 17 Saturday here in L.A. I'll be in the booth in SoFi with Kurt Warner for that one. And then the Texans finish up against Philly River and the Colts. And so lots to talk about with DeMeco Ryans, who's going to join us here, and man, again, right in the middle of this hour, and then Mike McDonald, the coach of the moment, he's going to join us top of hour number three. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, whether you're watching us on ESPN2 today or on the Disney Plus app, where we are every day between 12 and 3 Eastern, same with the ESPN app, same with ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, same with Sirius XM Channel 80. Just telling you how to take it all in. What's more likely Friday? We'll get to that in a second. But Gabriel in Washington State's been hanging on since Gabriel. Jump. What's up, Gabriel? How are you, sir?
What up, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. I am doing great. I'm getting ready to sip on some tea to soothe my throat after being at the game last night.
All right. All right. Yeah. You're one of the horse-throated 12s, are you, Gabriel?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I don't go to many Seahawks games, but when I do, they are legendary.
Oh, it's you. I didn't know that. So hold on a minute. Let me reintroduce you.
The last one I went to was the NFC Championship game against Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
16.
Dude.
Came back and won in overtime.
So let me reintroduce you. Here on the Rich Eisen Show is the guy who makes the Seahawks go legendary, Gabriel in Washington.
That's right. I need season tickets. I'm draining the savings account. I need season tickets. I got to get to every game.
Okay.
But speaking of getting to games and putting in some effort,
yeah.
Shout out to NFL International. The guy I sat next to was from London.
Okay.
Dan, the man from London, he came by himself just for the Seahawks game. He was in town for 3 days, and he's flying back to London today. So I think NFL International is a great thing, getting the game around the world.
Dude, look at you.
Shout out to Chris Brockman. I remember hearing the story about Chris Brockman, what he did for that Seahawks fan in Germany, buying him a jersey.
Shout out to Pavel.
I just want to say the Seahawks, we're like an NBA team that has a bad shooting night when we play the Rams. Like, we'll shoot 28, 30%. and still have a chance to win that game. So on a good night, when we're shooting our average, we'd be anybody in the league. When, every time the Seahawks are the one seed, they've done it three times in their history. All three times they've gone to the Super Bowl. We're about to go on a run.
Coach McDonald's
going to be the coach of the year, and John Snyder, the executive of the year. Everyone doubted him trading DK away, getting rid of Geno Smith. The Raiders should have learned from the Broncos. You don't trade for quarterbacks from Seattle because it doesn't go well.
Oh, wow.
Tell me that.
Gabriel in Washington, everybody. Thanks for the call. There he goes.
Thanks, brother.
By the way, Kenneth Walker, I didn't even mention him off the top.
Beast mode.
He was stupendous.
Yeah.
I mean,
waiting all year for that.
Well, his big play in the first drive of the game set up Charbonnet to start the scoring for Seattle.
Usually how that goes.
After McVay went for it on fourth down and didn't get it by inches to start the game. And then his 55-yard run is what put Seattle up in the second half. You know, the Rams made so many mistakes at the top of that game in the first half of the game. They should have been up by two scores. Instead, it was just a six-point lead at halftime. It was a one-score game at halftime, 13-7. And then Kenneth Walker, not even, you know, about 3 minutes into the second half, just popped one. And it was on. Game was on. The big interception by Darnold seemed to flip the table. Certainly on top of all that, Puka was going off. And then the comeback started. Mike McDonald's joining us later on in this program in hour number three. I mean, Gabriel in Washington said he sat next to a fan of the Seahawks who flew all the way from London.
That's amazing.
That's a long flight.
Dan the man.
By himself.
Dan the man.
So I guess we should take this call before we do what's more likely. Sam in Australia, line two. Sam, are you literally calling in from another continent across the globe right now, Sam?
G'day, guys.
Ah.
Yes, I am. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning over here.
Wow.
You guys keep me awake and keep me spruced up. Thank you, guys.
G'day, mate.
I just want to quickly say that I agree with you, Rich, about the two-point conversion. I don't think there was conclusive evidence to overturn it. Even as a Seahawks fan, I don't think there was enough evidence to overturn that decision, to be honest with you. I'm also rooting incredibly hard for the Indianapolis Colts for Monday Night Football as well, for sure. But I just wanted to say that, and it's so exciting that you guys are about to talk to him in hour three, Mike McDonald, he's so close to entering the top three of being Coach of the Year, probably even top two for me. I know Mike Vrabel is there, Mr. McVay as well, but I wanted to ask you, all you boys, hello, Rob, TJ, everybody.
What up, buddy?
Just wanted to ask what you guys thought about Mike McDonald as head coach of the best Coach of the Year so far. Is he in your top three?
Yeah, of course he is. I mean, they're
the rest of the season.
They're up. I mean, he's got the top-ranked team in the NFC. If not the entire National Football League, what they keep doing on the road. That, and again, I mean, Charbonnet picked the ball up. I'm sure we'll talk to McDonald. I'm sure he'll say he 100% tells players, ball on the ground, pick it up. You never know.
Yeah.
And what he's got this team doing right now is playing dynamite complimentary football, which means all phases, sir. And I appreciate your fandom from Australia.
Awesome.
And I do believe it's McDonald and right now what Vrabel are
in
the
McDonald
mix here.
Is second in odds right now. He's slightly behind Mike Vrabel. It's kind of a neck and neck race. Kyle Shanahan right there as well at 3-1.
Sam, I appreciate the fandom and I appreciate the call, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen,
right,
Sam in Australia.
Enjoy your day, man.
I love it. Is it me, the cynical portion of me? Because again, you know, my default is I'm a glass half full, right, guy. I always talk about the positives around here, but I still have that streak in me of cynicism. Could it be just like a guy down the street
that I was
calling up in an Australian accent saying, I'm from Australia, my name's Sam?
Look,
like it's like literally the guy's around the corner.
He messes up.
You know what I mean?
Okay, bye.
It's a security guard from around the way.
Yeah, I mean, shakes us off the air. He tells Adam, awesome, man. Thanks for the call.
It's 5 a.m. in Sydney. So, yeah, I mean,
the whole conversation tracked.
Yeah.
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 Tells his friends he fooled us all.
I mean, got him. Do you want him to call back?
No. I should just sit here and say, that's awesome. The NFL is international. So is this show. It's great. But a little part of me is just like, is that just a guy named, you know, Anthony sitting there in Brooklyn saying, you know, I'm going to do it again on the show.
Great accent. I mean,
that's fantastic. It was
really what if it's well the done. Same guy who does like the Morgan Freeman and he's just
Terrence in Ohio.
Maybe
you got people just doing voices. Yeah, but by the way, the video that we popped up of the actor Jason Clarke, who is from Australia, played Jerry West in Winning Time and plays Alec Murdoch in the Murdoch show that's on Hulu. A lot of people in the comments were like, I had no idea he was Australian.
Oh, yeah.
What if that's really Jason Clarke who's calling?
That could have been Jason Clarke.
Such a good time yesterday.
He said he was going back to Australia.
He did.
He seemed like he had a good time.
He called us mates so many times.
Yeah, not likely. So cool. Let's find out what is more likely. It is a Friday segment. Hit it.
What? What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
All right, guys, happy Friday. Great to see you. Still buzzing from the game last night. Yeah, unbelievable.
Awesome game of the year.
Who's more likely to win the NFC, Rams or Seahawks or the field?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, the Seahawks, all they got to do is go to Carolina, win that game, and all they do is go to the East Coast and win football games. And then go to San Francisco and win that one.
I'm talking about going to the Super Bowl. One of those two teams we saw, or anybody else?
Oh, man. How do I not take the field here, man?
Oh, I thought you'd go the other way.
No, but I mean, the Packers can absolutely be the one seed.
Not if Josh Jacobs isn't healthy.
The 49ers could absolutely be the one seed.
That's true. Could. Yeah. They could. But are they going to go to the Super Bowl?
I just got to take the field. It's too deep. Man. It's too deep. It's too deep. It's too deep.
Defending champs, part of the
field. But I think the Seahawks are going to take the one seed, though. I do believe. Unless the Niners go.
Right. Unless.
It's not over yet. Yeah. And I'm sure Mike McDonald is going to say that in the top of hour number three.
Yeah.
But what they've done is beyond impressive. And I can't imagine they're not. I mean, they're. I can't imagine that they're not going to. I mean, if Denver eviscerates Jacksonville, do I make them atop my power rankings?
Probably.
Because I have Denver above Seattle right now.
That's pretty good.
But Mike McDonald has done an outstanding job in his first forays as Seattle head coach.
After winning 10 games last year and missing the playoffs.
What else you got over there,
Chris? I'm going to need a huge day from this guy to survive guillotine this week. Josh Allen, guys. What's more likely? Josh Allen has more total yards and touchdowns, or the entire Browns offense has more total yards and touchdowns?
You know what? The Browns defense is no joke, pal. I know that they just got beat up in Chicago. I understand
that's
that.
That's Josh Allen, though.
I understand what it is.
Yeah. Superman. MVP.
How do I not go an entire National Football League team at home? I'm just going to...
Because it's Josh Allen.
I understand. I'm zagging today. You think
you
I'm
are,
zagging? I'm zagging.
Are. I'm kind of...
I'm going entire Browns offensive yards and
really?
Touchdowns.
All right. Can't quit Shador. I get it.
So the Browns... So, we're not including James Cook in this.
No, this is just literally Josh Allen.
Very good. I'll take
Josh
an entire
Allen
team against one guy.
Passing and rushing yards and how many touchdowns against
the whole
Browns.
I will take an entire team against one guy. All right. So you'll go the other way. Go the other way. That's fine. That's fine.
You're probably right. You're probably right. But the fact that you've got to think this hard about it tells you something.
It's respectful. It's respectful of Josh Allen or Brooklyn being disrespectful of the Browns.
Both things could be true.
Both things are happening right now. I can't lie to that. All right, a massive Sunday night game. It's got flexed. Our first flex of the year, right? Patriots, Ravens.
Massive flex.
Future Hall of Fame running back to have the longest run on Sunday night. Trevion Henderson or Derrick Henry?
Good one, Chris. I'll go Trevion Henderson.
Future Hall of Famer, Trevion Henderson.
Jeez, this guy over there.
It says it right on the graphic. I'm not making this
Hold
up.
Hold on a second.
Oh, it does. Well,
do you understand?
Holy crap, it does say that.
Oh, my God. Future Hall of Fame running back to have longest run.
It says around the graphic. I had nothing to do with that.
Chris, we're not often on linear cable, but you need to make a best first impression or second impression or
well,
how
this
many
is
going to
get aggregated anyway, so it's totally fine.
Future Hall of Fame running back. Then I'll go Derrick Henry, unless you want to remove that.
You already gave your answer.
No, Bills. mafia hunk of the Rich Eisen Show, according to producer Mike Hoskins, who has control of the graphics, put appropriately quotes around future.
You answered Travion already.
I will say Travion Henderson will have the longest run, and you being mass holy about it is not the reward I deserve for me to go Ohio State and give you what you want at the same time.
I snuck it by you. You guys missed it.
But Travion Henderson has been a home run hitter.
Home run.
I just don't need him hitting home runs this week.
Oh, because you're going against him?
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I picked up Derrick Henry.
What else you got?
Backup cornerback thrust into the starting role, more likely to throw for more yards and touchdowns. Gardner Minshew or Quinn Ewers this week?
Oh, God. Oh my gosh!
I mean, those guys are starting games in 2025.
I think that's an easy.
I'm going Gardner Minshew.
I knew you.
I'm going to look at Tommy. Come on, this man shows up in Arrowhead with a Burt Reynolds.
I mean, I do. I am very jealous of that T-shirt
with that look.
I'm very jealous.
How do you not say
I'm very jealous
this?
Of that whole look?
How
honestly.
Do you not? How do you say this man is not going to go ball out? How dare you?
Well,
how dare you?
Felly saw him with the Raiders.
How dare you?
I got behind
and
him.
Plus, how dare you? Gardner Minshew started way more games in the National Football League than Quinn Ewers. Come on.
He's a backup.
Okay. Oh, I'm just what else, Chris?
Gardner
Minshew with the Chiefs.
I say Quinn Brockman.
Huge game in the AFC this weekend.
Noted.
Team you have the more faith in to win multiple playoff games, Jaguars or Broncos?
Jaguars.
Oh, come on now. You're going to make me disrespect Duval. Is what you're going to make me do here?
I did kind of set you up for that.
The Denver Broncos are the one seed in the AFC, and they have played the terrific football.
Trevor Lawrence has won a playoff game.
I understand that. I think the Broncos will win the one seed, and they're going to have to play fewer games.
But that's not the question.
I understand what your question is. Okay. I will just say the Broncos and the answer to that question.
Okay.
But I've been really good to Duval this week, and now you've ruined it.
I didn't ruin it. You had a choice. You made a choice.
You
made a choice.
You put me in this box.
You could have said Jacksonville in this question.
I'm in a box. I'm in a box.
Now you are.
All right, a few more. I was on one. More likely to be the higher total, Bears rushing yards or Jordan Love passing yards?
I'll go Jordan Love passing yards just because the Bears fans think I'm dead set against them.
You are not popular with the Bears.
Chicago Police Department.
Yeah, you are not popular.
I'm the Jack Walsh of sports.
Bears fans,
I'm on the midnight run.
Something's on the midnight run like De Niro.
I'm going to do the litmus configuration.
Is that from the movie?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
You know,
very
really
funny scene.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Well,
I think the Packers win this game.
You do? Wow. So disrespectful.
I'm not being disrespectful. Packers fans think I'm right. Bears fans think I'm wrong.
All right, let's finish strong. Is it more likely the Eagles play a completely normal game and win going away, or the Raiders upset the Texans?
Oh, the Eagles play a completely normal game. I don't think the Raiders upset the Texans at all. Okay. They are in for it. Geno has not been protected all year long. Ashton Jeanty can't run a foot without getting hit. Everything is yards after the catch for him.
I know, but the Eagles don't do anything normal.
Yards after getting hit, man. And the Texans, all they do is hit people. Come on now. Eagles are going to play a completely normal game over the Texans losing to the Raiders. What else you got over there?
Let's empty here. More likely to be the bigger number, Jahmyr Gibbs rushing yards or DK Metcalf receiving yards?
Oh, I'll go Jahmyr Gibbs rushing yards.
Sneaky good game.
I think the Lions, this is their last home game. And I like the Lions in this game a lot. A lot. So, I don't think the Steelers are going to run away with the AFC North. I think they're going to be within hailing distance of the Ravens before Week 18 rolls around again. I don't think that division's over by a long shot. And DK Metcalf is just...
He's coming on.
I know he's coming on for touchdowns, but in terms of receiving yards, like he hasn't strung together triple digits. And he didn't have triple digits last week either. It's been catch as catch can. I mean... To put it this way, they're going to need more than two rushing touchdowns from tight ends to keep up with the Lions offense at home.
All right, last one. More likely Monday headline. Chargers have a real shot to win AFC West or Cowboys playoff hopes still alive?
Oh, Chargers have a real shot to win the AFC West. I'm flat out telling an NFL game day morning right now because our producers frequently watch this show, and I know Mooch has no idea how to stream anything. So, oh, but we're on ESPN, too. Anyway, I'll just come out the front. I'm taking the Chargers in this game, with all due respect.
That doesn't sound respectful.
So, Chargers have a real shot to win the AFC West as a Monday headline.
We're keeping hope alive, okay?
Okay, let's there go. You go, ladies
good
and gentlemen.
Good luck, DJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's keep that likely? Hope alive. What's more likely right here on a Friday? The likelihood of us taking a break is high because I'm in charge of it and we've got to go. Well, then, DeMeco Ryans next for the Houston Texans head coach. Their team's on en fuego, as another guy who used to work around the ESPN parts might say.
Experience a membership that backs what you're building with American Express Business Platinum. Unlock over $3,500 in business and travel value annually with statement credits on select purchases from brands like Dell, Hilton, and Adobe, and other benefits. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Based on total potential value of statement credits on select purchases and other benefits, enrollments required, monthly and other limits and terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're here on the ESPN radio feed, if you will, presented by Progressive Insurance. Six wins in a row for the Houston Texans. Once upon a time, 0-3, and now the real deal. Getting set to take on the Raiders. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, let's welcome the Houston Texans head coach, DeMeco Ryans. How you doing, coach?
Hey, Rich, doing fantastic, man. Great to be on again with you.
Thank you very much. And I can confirm you're doing fantastic. I can confirm it. How does this feel to you? I mean, you've taken teams to the playoffs before, and you've taken them into the playoffs and won playoff games before. How does this one feel to you right now, coach?
Yeah, I mean, each one has its own little beauty with it or within it, right? And I really love this one because of how we started. It's just so reflective of like life, right? You can start down, things aren't going well, you got a lot of problems, it's not looking great, but it's about how you keep battling, how do you keep pushing through like whatever adversity you face. And I'm so proud of this team. For a lot of people would say we were down and out, no chance of making it, and here we are, you know, playing meaningful games in December with an opportunity to make it. So this one feels very special.
What do you draw on when your team is 0-3? Like, what do you draw upon as a head coach in that instance?
Yeah, I go back to the film, right? A lot of people can tell you who you are and what you're not doing and what you can't do, but I look at the film and I look at, you know, who we were playing, how we were playing, what actually happened in the game. And when I look back at those first three games, it's simply like one or two plays. Right, we're in those games in the fourth quarter. It's one or two plays where if we make them, now we're 3-0 and we're the best team in the NFL. So I go back to the just let's be realistic and let's analyze things, you know, with a clear mind and see exactly where we are. What can we correct? How can we as coaches help the players, right, to be in better position to make the plays we need to make to flip that? So we're winning those games in the fourth quarter, and that's what we did.
But there's a belief issue in a locker room as well that you're going to have your finger on that pulse. What about that aspect, not just the X's and O's, coach?
Yeah, and the belief factor, right, it's that never wavers. Right, for me, we put so much work in, and I saw the team that we had in training camp. I saw the guys we had on our team, and that belief in what they're capable of doing and what we can do collectively as a team, that never wavered, because I know we have the right men in our locker room, right? Guys who've been there with me before in our previous 2 years, and we found a way. So I know we have the right leaders. We got the right guys. So the belief never leaves me. That's why I put in all the work I put in, and I truly believe, and I know truly that, you know, God has his hand on our team as well.
Well, I mean, take me to week 10 now, or I'll take you to week 10 now. You're down 19 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're staring at getting swept by the team that did beat you back in week three to send you to an 0-3 start. Somebody taps you on the shoulder and say, you're not only going to win this, but you're going to win five more in a row after. What do you say to that person, coach?
Thanks for keeping it positive.
I love it.
Oh, right? Man. I truly believe, Rich, you have to have a positive mindset, man, no matter how bad it looks. And that game will always, you know, be the, I think that's the focal point of our season. And that's the turning point, mm-hmm. so to speak, where, yeah, we have our backup quarterback in, Davis Mills, and without Davis, you know, making such an inspirational comeback in that game and leading us to victory, I don't know where our season would be right now. So that is the turning point for our season, and it's all credit to Davis and what he was capable of doing.
Yeah, I mean, what is, because we're all grasping at straws from our positions talking about it, about quarterback play and what makes for quality quarterbacks in this league and how you have to have an excellent backup. You know, your former place of business in San Francisco having an opportunity to make a deep run like you now because of what Mac Jones did there with Brock Purdy out and Davis Mills while C.J. Stroud is out keeps your ship more than afloat. And then you see Phillip Rivers in your division now, and you might be seeing old man Rivers at the end of the season in a must-have game for you. And neck up, you need it. Neck down, maybe less so, right? I mean, I'm trying to figure that part out. What about your perspective?
Yeah, for me, Rich, I think it's the neck up part. You can never underestimate that. Like playing quarterback, you truly, you know, you have to make great decisions. Like, and that's truly what it comes down to. Like when you have a backup quarterback who can come in and not feel like, you know, they're trying to outshine the starter so they can take over the role. Like, that's not what you need. That's not the mentality. You need to come in and manage the game properly, just make great decisions with the football, and understand who you have around you as a backup quarterback. It's not on you to go and, per se, win the game. It's on you to make sure you're distributing the football to your playmakers, right, who can go, therefore, and make the plays we need to make. And when you have your backup quarterback in as well, you also have to run the ball really well. And I think that's what San Fran has done, you know, with McCaffrey. When Mac was in, they ran the ball well. They stayed on schedule. You know, you try to win those third downs, keep it in third and manageable, and you don't turn the ball over. Right, and that's one thing that Davis did a great job of. He only had one turnover while he was at the helm starting for us, and that allowed us to go and play complementary football. We can rely on our special teams to flip the field. We can rely on our defense to make plays, right, to get us in favorable field position for the offense. So it's about playing team football when you do have that backup quarterback in and not trying to come in and be the hero and put the team on your back. It's just do what you need to do to be a part of the win. We don't have to win because of you. We just have to win collectively as a team.
And your quarterback, you got him back. He's been terrific since he's returned. And I'm wondering what you're seeing out of C.J. Stroud. Is he playing the best ball you've seen him play yet right now, do you think?
To me, right now, I think he's playing at such an elite level, and it is the best that I've seen him, you know, over the span of these 3 weeks, just seeing him come back and seeing how he's grown, right, like each week. I think it was beneficial for him to actually sit those 3 weeks and just watch the team, right, and watch the team and watch how we won games and watch how we just played together. Right. The quarterback didn't have to do something magical. It's just about running the offense efficiently, playing clean, having great command of the offense. And that's where I see him right now. He's been steady. He's been calm in the moment, very confident demeanor, how he's handled himself just in practice on the sidelines. I feel like, yeah, also we have a new offense, right, that he had to kind of get used to. And I think right now he's at a really good point where he feels as comfortable as he's felt within the scheme and what we're doing. And you know, he understands what it takes to win games, and that's what he's doing for us. And he's making some absolutely incredible plays, especially on some of the third downs when he's able to escape the pocket, utilize his athletic ability to move, not to run, but to keep his eyes downfield and to find Nico Collins, to find Dalton Schultz on third downs and also in the red zone. It's been phenomenal to watch him just grow as a quarterback, as a leader. And he's just, man, he's really just, he's really helping our entire team, right, with the confidence that you need at this part of the season. Like, when you're trying to make this run into the playoffs, you have to feel confident as a team. Like, the defense needs to feel that the offense can make plays to win a game. They can go score points to win games. The offense needs to feel the defense. They're able to get critical stops, right? Special teams is able to show up and make plays. Like, I feel like right now at this moment, we're playing really great team football, and that's what we need. We need to be our best right now, and that's where we are.
Well, that's the way it looks from my couch. And from my couch, I'm scared for the opposing quarterbacks you're playing, to be honest with you. I'm sitting in the safety of my living room, and I'm like a horror movie, watching through my fingers, watching your defense go, you know, do what it does. I'm wondering, do you ever sit around saying, I'm glad I never had a coach against something like that? Seriously, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No doubt.
What I'm saying.
Man, we have some phenomenal guys on defense, like the effort, the physicality that they play with. I mean, Will Anderson, Jalen Petrie, Azeez Al-Shaair, Kamari Lassiter, our corner. He's probably one of our most physical players, like pound for pound on our team. Like, he brings it. I've never seen a corner tackle like Kamari Lassiter tackles. And then you try to throw the ball over his head, he can go and intercept it as well. And then you have the all-pro Derek Stingley, who doesn't get many opportunities, but seems like when people do go his way, he finds a way to make a play. Then we got Kalen Bullock just playing center field in the back there. If you throw the ball up, he's liable to take it away. So we have studs at each level of our defense, and these guys are hungry to be the best, you know, in the league. And they're showing that each and every week. They have a lot to prove. They are a very prideful group. And it's really fun. It's easy to coach these guys, right? Because they can coach each other up. And it's really truly a player-led group. And it's easy to, and it's fun to sit back and watch them play on game day.
I'm so curious. Please walk me through the moment where I imagine you in a film session after Will Anderson sacked Josh Allen by looping back twice, right? Looping once, yeah, and then coming and getting him the second time. What was the film? You showed that to the group, I imagine, right?
Yeah, for sure. Right? I have this huge sign in our team meeting room that says relentless, right? And I just point to that sign and say, you want to see what relentless looks like? What does it mean? It's not just words on the wall, but this is it in real life. Mm. And I showed the clip of Will Anderson, like, running over 50 yards to chase down an MVP quarterback. It's one of the best plays that I've ever seen. It's what I truly believe defensive football is about. Mm. It's about the pursuit. It's about the hunt. It's about imposing your will on your opponent. And that's who Will Anderson is. That's why he's one of the best defensive ends in this league. He's one of the best leaders that I've ever been around, because he's intense. He's relentless every single day of the week, not just on game day, but it's also throughout practice. And there's no surprise to me by the things that he does on Sundays. It's no surprise, because I've seen it all throughout training camp, all throughout the season as we practice.
Yeah, and plug, it helps where he went to college too, right? Coach,
you know, that has a lot to do with it. You got to go to the right place.
Yeah, that helps too to get on D'Amico Ryan's radar screen, and certainly with the relentless play from Alabama, because I'm sure you knew exactly what he was doing at the college level when you drafted him. And that play was truly unbelievable. That was one of those moments that does stand out. It totally does stand out, you know, and that's why I was curious as how you handled it as a coach afterwards too.
Yeah, it's one I have to highlight, and it, you know, it kind of reminds me also of the play from the kid from Dallas who got knocked down on the punt play. And yes, he's knocked down several times and he gets up. It's like those two plays are like, that's why you love sports. That's why it's so many life lessons in sports. And those plays right there really, uh, really define what sports is all about.
And now, D'Amico Ryan, 2 minutes left for the Houston Texans head coach. I feel like this is this could serve as my pre-broadcast chat with you because NFL Network is going to have Texans and Chargers. I'm calling that game. So I'm going to be I'll be in the booth for that game. That's a massive game. You got one obviously with the Raiders before that, and you're taking it one at a time. I understand, and then you've got that last game of the year at home against Philip Rivers. I just had my guys look it up. You've never sacked or picked him off, I don't think, in his career.
Never.
You never got him.
Never got him.
But it's wild, right? What you're seeing right now. He's going against the Niners on this coming Monday night. Unreal.
Yeah, you know, after our game on Sunday, I had to tune in and check him out because it's just so, you know, impressive to see a guy who's been coaching high school football to come back and to see him operate. And I was like, wow, like he is really going to give them a chance, right, to win this game. Of course, with the running back that they have and Jonathan Taylor, he does such an outstanding job. And Phillip was able to keep them on schedule. Like they did a really good job. And I know, you know, he's going to be better. We'll see how he's feeling, you know, 44 years old. After get hit a couple times and putting those pads on, and definitely, you know, the recovery process, it slows down a little bit. But man, I'm proud for Phillip. I'm happy for him. It's such a cool story, you know, for the entire league. Like you always got an opportunity, always got a shot, no matter what. And you can see Shane truly believes in him. He's did a great job of leading this offense, just being there 1 week and giving them a chance to win in one of the toughest places to play in the league, to go up to Seattle and do what they did and have an opportunity there. It's impressive, right, to see him do what he's doing. So I'm happy for Phillip. Just not during the last week of the season.
I bet, yes.
No. Slow down, buddy. Not there.
That's where the bedfellows become strange, and that's for sure. In the couple minutes I have left with you, if you don't mind me just spending time on you, how are you a better coach now than when you first started with the Texans? You think?
Right
self-scout,
now, okay.
Self-scout yourself, if you don't mind.
Self-scout for me. You know, for me, I really, right now, I think I've grown in an area where I had to just kind of step back as a coach. And you know, first coming in, it was like I'm on this defense and I'm going to make sure the defense is right, make sure we're playing great defense and kind of let the offensive guys handle it and do what they have to do. But, you know, I took a step back this year and just wanted to oversee everything. All right, really, truly be in a position to help all of my coaches. And I feel like I'm a better coach because I'm doing a better job of coaching my coaches. Right. And I feel like I have better command on game day of all three phases and what's going on. How do I want it to look? What do I want to run like in all three phases? I feel like I'm in much better command now as a head coach. And hopefully my coaches feel the same way, that I'm helping them out a little bit more as well. But it's a lot less stressed out. On game day, because it's like even with like relinquishing the play calling, it feels like I'm actually able to, you know, be able to do more. I'm able to help more. And I feel like I'm a better leader now just by doing less. I'm actually a better leader. I'm actually able to do more by doing less.
And I don't know. Again, I know you're taking it one at a time. That's what coaches do. And for good reason, because it's the NFL. But I'm sure you've peaked at the spot where the Super Bowl is being played, and for you to potentially take this team from 0-3 to that building where your coaching career began, what would that mean to you? Do you think to be playing in the field of genes, if you will, there in Santa Clara in the Super Bowl with your team?
You're touching my heart, Rich. You're touching my heart there, man. That's you talk about, that would be very special. I spent a lot of time in that place and knowing, you know, what that would mean for me to be out there in Santa Clara playing in that one. You know, it doesn't matter where it is in the coach speak, but to do it there, where I got my start in coaching, that would be very special, very touching, and that would be a very fitting end to the year to make it out to Santa Clara for a really great reason.
Certainly, if you look across the way, and the Niners are there too. Which is entirely possible, as you and I are talking right now.
It is. You know? Now we're talking, man. You talk about a matchup. What a game.
That sure would be. It sure would be. In the meantime, good luck against the Raiders this week. I'll be Zooming with you next week whenever you're ready to talk about Chargers game on that Saturday. I'll be calling that, and then we'll see how things work out the rest of the way. But congrats on where you currently stand. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, my man. Talk to you later.
Back at you. That's D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was just a blast. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers 24/7 protection when you bundle home, auto, and motorcycle. Learn more at progressive.com. Phone calls, my top five other games you need to see here in the National Football League campaign in week number 16. That's still to come right here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN2, Disney Plus, and more.
The Rich Eisen Show. The podcast.
We're brought to you by Sonos. This season, make your home feel alive with Sonos speakers. Cinematic sound pulls you into every holiday movie. The game day audio puts you right in the middle of the action. I cannot wait to watch umpteen football games this weekend.
It's going
to
be great.
Stream everything you love, music, movies, or your favorite sports show, like this one, maybe, all in one place. Sonos' holiday sale is on now. Through December 28th, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos. Okay. It's my top five other games to look forward to for the rest of Week 16. Lots to live up to because the Rams and the Seahawks played the game of the year. Hit it. Hit it.
High five. One, two, three, four, five.
Rich's top five.
All right, here we go. My top five other matchups of Week 16. Number five on the list, Steelers, Lions.
Hey.
Lions have three times as many losses as last season right now. Three. And they do have still a 45% chance to make the postseason, while Pittsburgh's trying to win its first division since 2020. And Rodgers, a.k.a. Aaron Rodgers, is back in Detroit. One last toe touch into the world of the NFC North for the king of it for all those years. 18-8 all-time against the Lions. Who need this one? Lions need it. The Steelers need it to stay in front of the Ravens if they win their game. That's number five on the list. Number four, Monday Night Football. Okay, Niners, Seahawks won. You've got a win against them already. All you got to do is just stay one game behind the Seahawks going into Week 18, and then you beat them at home, and you get the chance to win the division and maybe the NFC. That's what's in the mix.
Crazy.
As they head to Indianapolis to take on a Colts team that desperately needs the win. Once upon a time, 7-1, now 8-6. And Phillip Rivers,
baby,
his first career start back in 2006 came on Monday Night Football for Marty Schottenheimer's Chargers. He beat the Oakland Raiders 27-0. He's lost his last five on Monday night. He is, however, career 4-0 against the 49ers. Go figure. Phillip Rivers in front of the whole country.
Come on now.
On Monday Night Football is number four on the list. Number three, Tampa at Carolina. First of two games over the final 3 weeks. They're tied at 7-7 apiece. The Bucs have won five straight, nine of their last 10 against Carolina. Both teams, however, coming off of losses in which they led by 10 or more points. It's the first meeting in week five or later with both of these teams at 500 or above since the 9-3 teams met in week 14 of 2008. The Panthers won. They won the division, and the Bucs missed the playoffs. That's number three on the list. Baker Mayfield back in a spot where he once upon a time worked the scout team defense. He wants to beat this franchise in the worst way. And of course, there's Bryce Young and the Panthers trying to break through. Can't wait for that one. Number two, Duval at Denver. Jaguars and Broncos. The Broncos currently have a 70% chance at the one seed right now, while the Jacksonville Jaguars have 10 wins for the first time since the 2017 team that went to the AFC Championship game. Here's a good one. The last time the Jaguars had 11 wins, which they would have if they beat the Denver Broncos, 2007, when Liam Cohen was the quarterback at UMass and Trevor Lawrence was eight. The last time Jacksonville
eight.
Yes, the last time Jacksonville played a game in which both teams had 10 or more wins was week 16, 1999, when Steve McNair accounted for five touchdowns in a blowout win against Jacksonville. It's been a while since Jacksonville's played in a game like this, measuring stick time for the Jaguars. But number one on the list is the 212th all-time meeting between the Packers and the Bears on Saturday on Fox on Saturday night. The winner clinches a playoff spot if the Lions lose to Pittsburgh. This is the latest the Packers and Bears game has determined the division lead since Week 14's game. And the Bears lead the NFC in rushing yards since Week 5. Since their Week 5 bye with 171 rush yards per game, the only player with 100 or more rush yards against Green Bay's defense, which no longer has Micah Parsons, however, Rico Dowdle, Jay Felly's favorite, who he's heard of, back in Week 9. And those are my top five matchups of Week 15 presented by Hyundai right here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN2, Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and ESPN Radio, whose audience we say goodbye to until Hour 3 with Mike McDonald of the Seattle Seahawks coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.